The scripture reading this morning is from Romans 1, and we'll turn there. And I'll read the first six verses. There are a couple of phrases out of this that will be part of the introduction here, but it goes this way. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who is descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. The title that I gave this was, What is the Christian Story? What story gives us identity as Christians? What story makes us a community? When you read this first part of Romans, Paul writes to the Roman church in Romans 15 that he does this as a reminder, by way of reminder. And he states, in the passage we just read here in Romans 1, that he is reminding us as readers of the gospel of God. Paul's purpose, as you notice in the last verse, was to bring about obedience, the obedience of faith in Romans 1:5. So there's a story to be told. What is it? What is it? The service we're attending today is one of the reminders of what the gospel contains. If you have read Bonhoeffer's bibliography, you might remember that when he came to the U.S. to study at Union Theological Seminary in New York, he hunted for a church at which to worship, in which he would hear the gospel. He didn't find it right away. So when he was in his searching then, he was looking for a worship service that would present the gospel of God. Reading the Bible together and by ourselves or hearing it read to us, we remember the stories we used to test whether our conduct and character is worthy of the gospel. Where is the standard? Christians read Scripture in order to remember. These memories shape our discernment. Is the purpose of being a Christian to be nice? Or is it to be holy? The stories of the Bible help us shape how we think we should live. There is more to the Scripture than story, of course. There is history. There is wisdom. There is prophecy. There are letters. There's personal advice, pastoral advice. But there is a grand story or a narrative that moves the creation of all things to the renewal of all things. In the last 2.5 years, I've been teaching in Lutheran schools. And before going to teach there, I knew of the phrase law and gospel. And this is the way Lutherans summarize, in a nice, simple little phrase, the content of the story. It's about law and gospel. And that even shows up in the curriculum. So you'll see those phrases in the kids' study materials, law and gospel. In our Reformed churches, we sometimes hear the phrase creation, fall, and redemption. And that becomes sort of our simple way of summarizing what the story is about. Creation, fall, and redemption. And that's sort of what this is going to follow here that you're going to hear. All that we read in the canon of Scripture has a context. It fits into the big story, the grand story. And the center of the story is Jesus. We are reminded of this even when we sing the Psalms. The plan is that next week we will have communion together and we will sing a series of Psalms at that observance. That's an observance that Jesus instituted. And so we'll sing passages from the Old Testament and we'll be celebrating something that's instituted in the New Testament. And of course, in this congregation and throughout the denomination, Christ in the Psalms is a theme that you hear with some regularity. So the center of the story is Jesus. But everything we read is in the context of the big story. We need always to continue to listen to the story and to determine if our actions are worthy of the gospel. That's a phrase here in Romans, worthy of the gospel. Whether they continue to fit the story. Here's an example. Think of slavery. Isn't it instructive to be reminded that the church has moved from rules to regulate slavery to prohibiting slavery? Okay. Now there's an example of listening to the story and discerning if our actions, what we do, is worthy of the gospel. So let's visit the Christian story and see how it orients us, how it forms our character, how it forms this community, our community here, and the physical world, our attitude toward it, our attitude towards each other. And this will be a series of reminders. Okay? It's interesting to me that this phrase, to be a reminder, a way of reminding, comes up in Romans. The implication is that the people that he was speaking to knew quite well what he was talking about. He wasn't presenting brand new stuff. But it was by way of reminder. So today we'll do something similar. And the first reminder is this, that in the beginning, God created all things. Here is the creation narrative. We're familiar with that. Review the details in your mind. Remind yourself that Jesus is an agent of God who created the world, sustains the world, loves the world, and he covenanted with Israel. We'll look a little later with about how he covenanted with Noah. One of the questions that comes up now and again in the teaching I do is, do I have to believe, and then you kind of fill in the blank, if I'm going to be a Christian? And here's one of the main or beginning ideas that's part of our story. It's very, very important that in the beginning, God created all things. This story almost got derailed. This is in about just a little after, well, by 150, 200 years after Christ left this earth, there was quite an argument about this. And so we got what is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, and here's the next phrase, maker of heaven and earth. Fundamental part of the story. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Here it is in its old form. I believe in God the Father Almighty and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was born of the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, crucified under Pontius Pilate and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the quick, that's us, and the dead. And in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. We don't read it quite that way, do we? He didn't memorize it quite that way. But the content there is a summary that was necessary at that time to not allow the story, this part of the story especially, to be derailed. The story beginning with creation is not just a once upon a time God displayed his power and grace. You know, just back there somewhere, God just kind of did this. But that God, the Father, displays his power and grace now as creator and seeks us to have a fitting response. This is a story that shapes us. That the idea that our Creator is interested in us is something that shapes our discernment. How we view things, how we solve things, how we enjoy things, it shapes our response to God and to God's creation. And this is where, again, this idea, are we just supposed to be nice people? Is that what Christians are? Nice? Or does God want us to be holy people? Reminder two, nature is not God. If God made all things, then nothing that God made is God. The story is one of monotheism. Nothing that God made is God. In your head, list the things that God made. I'll stop you before you finish. And listen, just go on and on, can't it? But none is God. What's the point? We are to turn from idols. Our devotion, our confidence, our hope and allegiance is not to be something other than God. If God alone is God, this invites a fundamental confidence in God and a deep loyalty to the cause of God. This is part of the reason that we come to worship today. At our house, the phone at about 9 o'clock just started ringing. And people called and said they weren't coming. Now, they weren't just being courteous to me, I don't think. But they were telling someone that it's important for them to be at church, but they won't be able to today. Okay, they can't get there. The roads are not safe enough. So there's a devotion there. There's a loyalty to the gathering of God's people to worship. And this is an important point, I think, for us to be reminded of, that we are not to have idols. God is our God, and coming to worship him is the way we show our allegiance to him. That's why we show up here. You believe in God? You're a Christian? How do you show your allegiance to God? Well, you come to worship. And so this has been another part of the story that shapes us. Think about the creation story again. The creation is not God, but it plainly shows God's power and grace. What has been made is not sort of an artifact out there. It's not something we kind of put in a museum and look at it. But the thing that God has made, what God has made, declares his glory. God called it good. God loves what he made. Think of Psalm 148. All creation in heaven and earth is invited to praise God. All creation. What God has made is responsive to him. Can you think of other examples? You can say them out loud.
The sun knows when it's time to go down.
That's right. The sun knows when it's time to go down. That's another one. The trees clap their hands. The responsiveness of creation is remarkable. It's remarkable. And so that's under reminder number two. Okay. Reminder three. What God created is good, but not perfect. Pain and death and predation are part of creation. Psalm 104:21 has an interesting point. I've been reading to the kids at school, and one of the things I've been doing with a group of the classes is to read the Psalms. And the Psalms sometimes are pretty long, so I just read a couple of verses, and then the next day I repeat those verses and add a few more. And then right now I'm in the middle of Psalm 104, and so I read part of it and then I add a little bit to it, and I kind of move down to the Psalm. And it's interesting that I would encourage you all to do that. Just try reading the same verses every day, about 5 or 6 times. It does something to you. It shapes you. But here's one of the lines that comes out of there. Psalm 104:21. The young lions roar for their prey, P-R-E-Y, seeking their food from God. See that? That's a reminder here. That's an important one. Seeking their food from God. Can we conclude that there are regrettable events, even if necessary, in this good creation? This can be a sticking point. But isn't it part of our story? Isn't it part of our story? The reason I had the Job passage read is, which Dennis read for us, that's the end of Job. That's the end of Job. And that's the part where we want to remember as the conclusion to Job. Did you notice, for example, that Job's daughters and sons received inheritances? And the daughters actually are listed first in the text. There's something of the patriarchal system that kind of breaks in Job's example. The other thing that's fascinating there, too, of course, it gets pointed out often also, and you know this, is that what Job receives in return is greater than what he had before. So in God's grace, in this very difficult situation to which he's been, God blesses him in ways that really are impressive. So the story of Job is a interesting one. And notice, too, his friends are taken to task at the beginning of that passage that Dennis read. Okay, he didn't get the story right. You know? So that's one of the things that's important here, is when we think about these reminders, is that we get the story right. Reminder 4. In the creation story, there's a distinction between God and God's creation. And the point I'm trying to make here on 4 is that when God makes man, man is made male and female in God's image for freedom and to rule. Remember how the language goes, that word dominion, you know, comes up. The story instructs us to respect the special dignity of human beings. In school, this is a huge deal. Why do I care about my neighbor? Do you care that your neighbor isn't doing very well in this class? You know, I don't quite ask that quite that bluntly sometimes. But, it's an important feature. Do you care? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your neighbor? Why do you love your neighbor? Because your neighbor is made in God's image. Some people have said to me, when you have a class of kids, you have all these little Jesuses in front of you. Be careful of them. But that special dignity is part of how God created us. We're not God. We're distinct from God, but we've been made in God's image. Children are not parenting projects. you don't just kind of shape your kid to be a certain way. We raise our children as image bearers of God. Another piece of the story is that God puts us in the middle of creation to be a sign of his own care and rule. We get to make God's rule clear. We are to be, like God, able to see the world around as good, to wonder about it, and to say, wow, You know, there's all kinds of intriguing things around us. That's one of the things I try to encourage kids at school, too, to see, is that what we're studying here is not just something that you sort of get a handle on, get a good grade on, okay? But it's something to kind of capture your attention, okay? Pat and I and Joe Gill saw an amazing sunset Friday evening. You may have seen it, too. It was wow. I mean, Joe and I first looked out there, and here it was, orange, you know, just orange sky, a little bit of that neat blue that you get on the edges, you know. And then, in a couple of minutes, Pat came by and she said, have you seen the sunset? And now it's getting really orange, you know, and that ready orange. You know, just filling the sky. Those are things around us that are more than just refraction of light through a drop of water. They are that, but there's so much more than that. You know, it takes two. It's got to bounce twice inside the drop of water. It's very fascinating. And, you know, the angle's always going to be 40 degrees. It's always going to be. It's the way it works. It's the way the physics works. So if the sun's over here, it'll be a 40-degree angle between you and the sun. The sunset. That beautiful, beautiful sun. Excuse me. I just mixed up two things, didn't I? Sorry. That wasn't in my notes. I shouldn't have done that. Would you erase that last part? What I just talked about was a rainbow. Okay, let's stick to sunsets. That's refraction of light, too. These are things we are to admire. They're works of God. We are to be stewards of creation with gratitude and delight. This is also why we take a Sabbath. It is a day to show trust in God, a day to praise Him. You know, the people in the congregation that aren't here right now, I can almost guarantee you they aren't doing their everyday work today. They aren't just, oh man, this gives me a chance. I got a couple hours too. I can almost guarantee, I'm not going to go visit them, but I can almost guarantee they won't. They'll actually take this day as a day of rest. That's part of what the Sabbath does. We show our trust in God. It should be the perfect day of the week. It is when we show what we value. I'd like to read to you a passage you all know, and then I'd like to have us repeat it back to each other here. But this is from Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Okay? Now, you know this, so the people here in the first four pews, let's say the first part, and then everybody else say the second part to each of these lines. Okay? So let's do it. And we can speak to each other. So, front row, the Lord bless you and keep you. Hang on, let's try it again. You just do the Lord bless you, and the back will say, and keep you. Okay? So, the Lord bless you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. Wonderful. The image of God is relational. God sets the context. We are not simply autonomous individuals. We just spoke to each other, encouraging words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Those are wonderful, wonderful words to contemplate, think about, and to tell each other. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. That's what we ask for. That's what we spoke to each other. That's part of being in the image of God. The Godhead speaks. You know, in Genesis we hear that kind of talk. So we also, as image bearers of God, speak to each other. God, like I say, sets the context. We are dependent on God. Our mortality is a sign that we do not have our life the way God has life. We are dependent on God for life itself. Reminder 5. Creation is not the whole story. Creation, fall, was the next word, wasn't it? Sin comes in. The fault is not God's fault. It is not nature's fault. It is our fault. The fault is traced to human sin. The refusal to trust in God and give God praise. Romans speaks of this. The scripture continues the story of human sin and the curse that followed. The curse involved the alienation of God, of human beings from each other, from God, and from the creation itself. It is human sin and not some fault in the creation that is at the root of the curse. Sin entered the story in the serpent's intimation that God is a liar and not to be trusted. Did God really say? One way we can leave this story is to become convinced that our imperfect selves is what needs to be overcome or corrected. The temptation is to grab the promises that are around us that aren't part of the story. We can grab the promise, well, I've got a choice, or I've got to consent, or I am in control of this, to overcome any human condition. But isn't that not where the solution is found? It's not going to be a technological solution. So reminder 5, okay, reminds us of sin. It's part of the story. Reminder 6, the end of the story is not sin. It is not the curse. It's not the flood. But the flood does tell us something interesting and important here that's already been alluded to, but needs emphasis. The account of the flood finally shows God's grace to Noah and his family, the earth and its creation. God makes a covenant with humanity and creation to not destroy and to promise to protect. The flood did not end sin. We have the account of Noah's nakedness and the Tower of Babel. Human pride is the problem in both those stories. But God's covenant, God's agreement between humanity and the creation prevails. Reminder 7. This is the last reminder. The center of the story is Jesus of Nazareth. God made human nature his own. The Word became flesh. The incarnation marks forever creation and human creatures, nature and human nature is good. Jesus of Nazareth was a healer and a preacher of good news to the poor. But the gospel ties the stories to the story of the cross. The Creator God and the Redeemer God, by power and grace, raised Jesus from the dead. This salvation is celebrated and displayed in worship. We look forward in hope for the redemption of all things and the renewal of all things. The creation waits with eager longing. We need to get our story straight and live it. Sing now Psalm 148b. Let's stand to sing 148b.